Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is a privilege to be with you guys tonight. I really look forward to sharing the word with you. But Sias and Luis, I also want to honor you. You know, you guys, we've been here a while, I told my boys I was going to wave to them, so I did when I was standing here. Just the faithfulness with you guys, you know, serving for more than 20 years in this community and still impacting so many people's lives, you know, thank you. Thank you, Sias, for what you've done in my life. And thank you, Luis, for being the rock behind Sias. Amen. And it's great to see you in front here, not like my wife, you know, back there with the kids, because when I was here, she was there. So I want to share the word with you tonight, just something that is close to my heart, and it started here in Stellenbosch. I got filled here with the Spirit, and the Lord did amazing things in my life here. Not all of them comfortable, may I add. But I'll show some, or I'll tell some stories tonight so that you can just relive some of the moments with me. I think these blocks that I'm standing on, you know, I packed in and out in the DF Milan Center a lot when I was doing internship. So now I can stand on them and somebody else will take them away afterwards. So that's cool. Anyway, but let us just pray for the Lord. Father, thank you that I can just bring the word before you, Lord, and it's your word. Jesus, it is you. Lord, I humble myself before you, and it's not because I can do anything of myself. But Lord, I just bring what you have given to us, Lord. And I ask that you would breathe on it like we're saying tonight, Lord. And just make it alive in our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, the title of my message tonight is, Oh, for the Love of Community. Oh, for the love of community. But it's a great thing that I'm going to share with you. I want to talk to you about that, talk to you about Christian community. And, you know, many times when we speak about community, it brings, you know, for different people, different types of emotions in their heart. Some of us, you know, Christian community is like, we've got here a lot of academic people studying the word, saying a lot of smart stuff. Sometimes people like that say a lot of stupid stuff too. But for some of us here, Christian community is a lot of churches together, all of them. For some of us, you know, it's just the leaders of church. It doesn't matter how you see that community tonight. The one that I want to just emphasize and focus on is the one that comes, you know, from a biblical origin. That the word for church, the word for community, the word for that ecclesia that we've got is found in Acts 2:42-47 and reveals something of that community. And you guys can go and read about that there. I'm not going to do it with you guys tonight. You can go and read Acts 2 for yourself, you know, give you some homework. But I want to emphasize this little, I was thinking about it when I was preparing for the message. Not that. There's a guy, his name is Robert Frost, and he had this quote, and it stuck with me, and he had a quote about family, and he said, family is the place where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. That's family. Okay, so I don't want to be too smart, but I tried my hand at doing a quote, because we're speaking about community. And this is what I came up with. You can write it down and then you can quote me on it. Okay. Dvall Esterhazen said the following. Okay. Community is the place where when you least want to go there, you need to be among them the most. Huh? Cheers. And that is what I want to share with you guys tonight. And I'm going to tell you a couple of stories of my life. And I hope that I can inspire some of you as you go out here to know that community is a wonderful place. Being in a community of saints is awesome. But it's also very, very daunting sometimes. Most of the times. If you understand it correctly, and if you do that. So, when I was studying here a while back, I was first year in 1999, and at least I didn't say it myself, CS did, here in Dagbreek. And as I was coming here, you know, I was I grew up in the R, so that's the flat language. Okay, who's any Karoo people here? Hallelujah. Okay, so I grew up in the R, and then we moved from there to Virginia and the Free State. My dad still lives there. But, you know, I was a little bit, any Free Staters among you here? Okay, hallelujah. We'll pray for you later. You know, in the Free State, there where I come from, you can see tomorrow coming 3 days, you know, in the future. It's flat, man. It's like nothing. Very flat. But I came from there to Stellenbosch. You know, I didn't even apply for any other universities. I wanted to come to Stellenbosch because it was the farthest place that I could find from where I come from. Because I was so afraid that I was going to go back, you know, to some of the people there in the Free State, you know, because of the mines. You know, your dad works at the mine, and then you go to school, and if you go and study, you go and study in Poch or in Bloemfontein, and then you come back and you work on the mine. And I wasn't into mining at all. So I wanted to run away. So I ran to Stellenbosch. But God had a plan for me and for all of us. So I got here and I did my studies. And it's quite funny. You know, now I've got more degrees. But when I was here, I crammed my 3-year degree into 4 years and a chancellor's exam. But I made it. And from there, God did amazing things through my studies. But anyway, so I was here, and I did, you know, like most of you, came here to Stellenbosch and to Shofar. And it was the one thing where I really experienced for the first time, because I loved, you know, worshiping in other places. It was great, you know, putting your hands up and all of those things. But when I came into Shofar, the one thing I remember is kind of like the Holy Spirit took a hold of me while I was sitting there, pressing me down like this, and then just afterwards I'm like, okay, okay, I want more of that. And I was back again, you know, even though I thought they were going to hang me up by my feet, you know, I don't know what. I came back and back because the Holy Spirit was doing something in my life. Now, after, you know, a lot of things and being with CS a lot, God started to work in my life. And I want to give some advice to some of you here tonight. Many times, you know, we think that when we follow God, all of you here, most of you, would want to follow God with your whole heart. But sometimes you're stupid. Okay, I know, you know, you're the only smart people in the house here. I was not one of those. I was stupid. Okay? And as my stupidity grew, God came and He delivered me. And the story goes like this. I was called to the ministry, and that is another part of the story. While I was in my most disobedient state, being a leader in this church, God called me to ministry. So I'm not saying go and, you know, be disobedient and backslide. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes, you know, we think, oh, I miss God, I miss God. You know what? God can use your stupid stuff to make His plans come about. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28, God will make all things work together for the good of those who love Him. It doesn't make it easy. But He can do that. So, what happened was I was I was in a relationship that I shouldn't have been in. Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I'm going to tell a couple of stories of us tonight. So, and he knew that, you know, and I knew I shouldn't be in that relationship. But yeah, but she's beautiful and she makes me look nice in front of my friends. And I'm like going way down. But I was, you know, in that place of I wanted to follow God. And in my third year, what am I going to do with my life? And I'm praying with God and say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? So I go with this girl to her town, and in that church, while sitting there, knowing that I shouldn't be in that relationship, in a little church, the pastor says, listen, come to the front, everybody who wants a word from God. And I'm like, yes, yeah. I am going to be one of those tonight. And I come to the front, and I stand there, and I thought that the pastor's going to lay his hands on me, and no, he didn't. And he told the people like you in his church and say, if you have got a word for any of these, come and bring it to them. I'm standing there. And this short, colored lady, old lady, comes to me. Praise God for that lady and her obedience. She comes to me and she said, she just feels that she must tell me the following. Okay, and please translate for the English people. Easter, Easter, Isaiah 45. I can do that too. Iron, iron, Isaiah 45. But what is cool about that, you sit and you listen. My nickname in Dagbreek, Easter. God calls me through some random lady on my nickname that they gave me in Rez. And it says Isaiah 45. And when you go and read there, it says it's about Cyrus. And it says there, Cyrus, God's shepherd. And here I am today. But it didn't come easy again. Because if you are called, you know, then you are special. More special than most, to go into the full-time ministry. You know, and I'm serving in church, I'm doing internship, and CS is there, and, you know, we're doing this thing. And he tells me, yeah, we're going to work this thing, and you're going to, you know, either plant some church or something. But remember, disobedient backsliding. And I was so dead inside in those times. You know, there would be 3 seconds of a day as I wake up where I'd peace. And then it must be a massive demon. But anyway, then it jumped on me. And I was like, ooh. And I was smiling like this. But inside there was nothing. And see, I saw that. And then after 2 years of internship, and you know, I wanted to go into the ministry because of the escape clause it gave me. The security. Then I'm going to have a salary. Then I can, you know, I can have a wife and kids and that. Even though I was called. And then, praise God for this wonderful man of God. Comes to me one day. Community, okay? Speaking about community. And he says the following words to me. Deval, I don't think that the hand of the Lord is on you anymore. Oh! And then, the great one, he says, I think you must go and get yourself a job. And I'm like, are you serious? And I was a little bit offended. Just a little bit. Anyway, so I'm going to tell you stories and not read the word to you tonight, but I'm going to. So in that time, you know, I'm mad at CS, I'm mad at this church, I'm mad at the leadership, they're all hypocrites. Blah, 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 blah. Ranting on. Because I am called of the Lord. Can I not see that? Yes, they can see that, but they can see you're stupid as well. Praise God for community. Now I'm figuring it out in my head. I am going to run away. I'm going to England. In England, You know, like I did when I came from high school. I wanted to run away as far as possible from the stupid people there. Now I wanted to run as far as possible away from the stupid people here. And then I did a real, you know, biblical thing. I was sitting in my bed. I said, God, speak to me. You know what? You know what God told me? Proverbs 18 verse 1. Read with me. Proverbs 18 verse 1. It says the following. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Okay, God, I'll stay in this community. I won't run away. And I'm working through all of these things. And as a pastor, you get a lot of questions when it comes to community and church. And especially there where I come from in the Platteland, the Flatlands. There are a lot of things going on and everybody has got an opinion. Oh, and especially when it comes to, you know, submitting to authority and that. Ooh, hallelujah. No. I only submit to Jesus. And I'm like, hallelujah for you. But one of the guys came to me and he was really putting some confusion in my head about this whole church deal. And sometimes it's difficult, you know, when your six-year-old or so comes and he asks you a question. You know, it's great to have a theological answer for some random person. But when you have to explain to a six-year-old why Jesus had to die, you do it differently than you would from a pulpit. Because now you really have to understand what you are saying before you can transfer it to him so that he can understand it. So this one guy in church comes and, you know, he says a lot of stuff about church. And then I'm really struggling. And I'm asking God, you need to help me now. You need to help me to know why church, why community, why is this deal here? Can't we just all go off on our tangents, each one to himself? Obviously not. But all the scriptures that I can use to disprove his position, he can use to disprove my position. And I'm like, So here's a question. Turn to your neighbor and say to that neighbor of yours, why do you need to be part of a community, aka a local church or a cell group? Go for it. Now I can see, it's so like, no, I don't need to be part of a church, you know, it's nice. Why, I need to come to church because there's lovely ladies here. No. Okay, so here's a clue for you, before you guys speak too long. Here's a clue. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. Let the sparks fly, baby. Because that is what you will get in community. But anyway, so I'm still praying, you know, and asking God to help me. And then last year, I do Bible School 3 again. I did it long ago, and then I did it again last year. And God is so faithful. And then one session that Dr. Corne Becker just, you know, delivers, he takes one verse, and he gives me all the answer I need for community. And I'm going to share that with you tonight. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. When it comes to community, we all want to be Christ-like, okay? All of us want to be Christ-like. That's nice. It's a very theological thing to say. It's a very, very great thing to tell your parents and your friends, I'm becoming Christ-like. Ah. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image of Jesus from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Okay, now you're thinking, is that it? Let me unpack that for you. Paul writes here, and, you know, just writing to them saying, listen, this is verse 17 is the one that we like to use to say, there where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay, that's verse 17 of the same chapter. So there's where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and then this. This is how it works. First thing that you see there is what? Community. And we all. So the question is, how are we transformed into the image of Christ? We all. There's a collective there. It's not an individualistic thing. All of us, we all, when we come together, that is the start of it. You cannot do this by yourself. And then the second thing that he says, with unveiled face. Ooh. Because when you walk into a room like this where there are many other people, you come in here with your mombakis. You've got your face on, the one you want people to see, especially Christian people. How's it going? No, too blessed to be stressed, my brother. And there's nothing that you want to show of really what's going on in your heart. So the second thing that you want to do when you come into community is you need to learn the art of having an unveiled face before this we all. And that is tough. Why? Because if I should ask you, who of you have gotten hurt in church? Most of us will put up our hands. And then what do we do? We build these facades around us. You know, walls and stuff. And, you know, those of you who are studying drama here, no one. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody. Thank you. So, arts and drama, you know, those two, what's the English word? Masks, hallelujah. Masks. Those two masks that they've got for the arts. One is a smiling face, one is a happy face. That is what it means to be an actor. And that is the thing that you need to think about when it speaks about unveiling yourself. Take off that mask. Take off that thing that you want people to see, which is not what is actually going on in your heart. So with unveiled face, you need to come into this place. And just a little disclaimer there for those of you who feel the need to build walls. Because you are hurt. I want to encourage you tonight with a simple thing. I'm not as learned in photosynthesis like my brother Stefan. But when you build walls around your heart, you know, it's not a selective membrane. So it's not something that only allows some stuff through and keeps others back. Stefan, how am I doing? But yes, yeah. It is a wall. So yes, it will keep the hurt out. But yes, it will also keep the love out. So you cannot be transformed into the image of Christ without you breaking down your walls. Because you will not be able to receive any love as long as you've got your walls. You will also have less pain from the outside. But who wants to live in that place? Ask me. You become as dead as a doorknob in that place. And I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord, you know, with an unveiled face, than live in that place of, you know, just a facade that I'm putting on and a show for other people. The third thing in that scripture is, we behold the glory of the Lord. So we're not focused on one another. You're not looking to your brother or your sister, oh yeah, but she's more pretty than me, or he's more spiritual than I. No. You are beholding the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where? In community. With your unveiled face. You're looking to him. To transform you. Because he is the one that you are becoming like. He is the one that you want to be like. And then, this thing is a process, being transformed in the image of the Lord. How? One degree of glory to another. It's progressive. So you might think you have it down today, and then a year from now you're like, God, but I've been around this circle before. And then God has said, no, but let's go a bit deeper. Let's go and make you a little bit more like me. And how is this done? The last part of that verse. It is done through the Holy Spirit, the Lord who is Spirit. So tonight I want to finish. So 20 minutes in your head, okay? As I'm finishing tonight, I want to give you a scripture, a story of Lazarus. In John 11, verse 41 to 44, you know, Jesus comes and Lazarus has been dead for 3 days, 4 days. He's starting to stink. And then Jesus goes to that place and then he says the following. He says, he must take away the stone. So they took away the stone and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around that they might believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, said, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, and his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Jesus does a massive miracle here. This guy's been dead for a long time, stinking, and then he calls him from the dead. And he comes out, and he's standing there. And in many of our lives here, God has done awesome, awesome miracles. He has pulled us from the grave. You know, he's taken us from the kingdom of darkness, put us into the kingdom of light. He has done awesome things in us, calling us forth. And now we're standing there. One thing Jesus did not do in this story is take off his grave clothes. What did Jesus say? Those of you standing around him, community, go and take off his grave clothes. And many of us are standing in a place and you're feeling, oh, but you know, God, help me with this, help me with that. And God is kind of looking and say, yeah, I've called you from the grave. Just get into community so that they can help you to remove your grave clothes from you. In a process that is different to all of us. Some will take off the headband first, you know. There's a process. But God says, Jesus says, that's something that the community must do. And for many of us, this is uncomfortable. Because we think we stink. And we are right. But luckily, all of us stink to some degree. Some more, some less. But God is faithful. And when we start going into that place of surrendering to community, God can do amazing things in us and through us. But as iron sharpens iron, that day in CS's office, it wrecked my life, but it saved my life because he spoke the truth in love, in community. And I'm standing here because of that today. Sometimes it hurts people. You know, as a pastor, I get many people, you know, they kind of rock up at your office, and then, you know, it's like this ta-da moment that they give you. Deval, I feel that the Lord is leading me elsewhere. Now I've learned. So these days I say, no, I don't think the Lord is leading you elsewhere. I think you are leading yourself elsewhere. Because you start to probe those people, then you see stuff is getting a little bit rough around here. People are, you know, trying to take off these grave clothes of mine. And I don't like it. Many of them are offended with me for some stupid thing I said or did. You know what? I've learned. When you get offended, the best question you can ask, God, why did that offend me so much? You turn that on yourself, but you go and stand in that mirror, and then you sort that man out first. And then you start pointing the fingers to all of these other, whatever you want to call them, hypocrites around you. Because dead people don't get offended. So there's too much self left in you. That's why you get offended. Sometimes people hurt you, so I'm not making light of people that hurt you. That's wrong. So I'm not condoning anybody hurting you, and it's fine. That's not what I'm saying. But if you are prone to offense, go and stand in that mirror and ask God, God, why? Why am I getting so offended? One story, two stories regarding this. Now I'm a pastor for a while, and then, you know, stuff started to happen around me. And you know what? When God wants to sort out a character flaw in us, He sets up the perfect storm for us. And these days, I'm telling people, don't waste a good storm. Don't do that. Because if you do, it's going to come around again. Sort out your heart first time around. Ask God, God, why is this happening? What do you want me to see about me and being transformed into the likeness of Christ that I'm missing? So, as I'm being a pastor, nice and all that, I've got this, you know, there's just a chain of events, you know, where I'm the consumer and I took some pearls, you know, that they needed to string for my wife at this place in Tiger Valley, and then I had to do some calendars. We still do the old reformed calendars there in the Platteland. So I did that at this one place there in Malmesbury. And they stuffed it up, both of them. And I am right, because who am I? I am the consumer. The customer is always right. And I'm giving them some lip on how they stuffed it up. And this is how you work with the people. And na-na-na. And you know, and it's kind of like almost a shouting contest. And then the guy there in Malmesbury with the calendars, he's like, he promised me three times, Friday, Wednesday. Blah. And I'm like, dude, come on. So I am right. And I told him. And then he turned on me and he said, yeah, nothing for sure, for any, never. Now it's not me. Now he's taking on the church. Now I go home to my lovely wife. And apart from my salvation in Christ, that was the biggest blessing and gift that God has given me. Yeah, sure. But that's true. Yeah. If you want to hear some stories, come to Malmesbury next week. I almost wrecked my marriage. Anyway, but that's going to be in Malmesbury in the morning service, okay? Anyway. So, I'm going on in this place. Of, you know, sorting this out and go to Dunhill. And I said, listen, you know, and I tell her all the stuff. Boo-hoo, please feel sorry for me. And then she turns around in that place of community. You know, your wife is part of that. And then she looks me in the eye and she says, you know what, Deval? When you go into that place, I'm also afraid of you. Sure. And I'm like, God? And then it was like, you know, it was like in the in-laws and my dad. It was just hallelujah. And it was the in-laws. And, you know, I've got a big stage in Malmesbury, so I'm not boxed in like this. And it was the in-laws, and everything was just going awry like this in my life at that time. And I'm thinking, God, what? And then God starts to speak to me. He said, Deval, there's a place of your being Devalness, which is awesome. But there's a place where you access anger, which is not of me. And I want you to sort that out. Okay, that's great, you know, when you can say, okay, God, I'm so sorry. And then comes the grave clothes removing. You know what God tells me? Deval, I want you to go back to that lady in Tiger Valley. I want you to go and tell her you're sorry. And then I want you to go to the calendar guy and I want you to go and tell him you're sorry. And I did that. You know what? God is so gracious. The guy in Malmesbury, when I went there, because I did this before all of his staff. Okay? So when I get there, I say sorry to all the staff. And then I ask them, can I speak to the boss? And they say, no, the boss is here. So I needed to go back there again. God is just humbling me. And God came and he took away all of that wrongness in myself. So when it comes to community, it's not about the negative stuff only. Because my wife is amazing and she's doing really well in the corporate world. And there was a time when it was so tough that with her, it's just, she was really ill and it was really a lot of pressure at the workplace and, you know, and anyway, just a lot of emotional turmoil. And God called her to that place, but I was like, I cannot stand one more day of my wife being trampled on as she is, like I'm seeing. And I was like, that evening, I was going to pull the plug. I said, listen, honey, just resign. We'll trust God for some other stuff, but just resign and get out of that place. But God has called her there to be a door for the gospel. That was the word that he gave a long time ago. Hallelujah for community. You know what? Sometimes, even though I'm a pastor following Jesus, the emotional turmoil in my wife is so much, I cannot think straight of what God has said. Then I need community. And she goes and she sits with her, with another lady. And she tells all the stuff, you know, all kind of like me. And then she listens, you know, very nicely to everything that she said. And then when Danielle finished speaking, she looks in the eye and says, Danielle, God said 5 years. This is year 3. Why are we having this conversation? 2 months down that line, God opened a massive door for the gospel. And I was almost pulling the plug on that. We need community people. It's not nice, but we need it because that's the place where we are safe. That's the place where we grow. That's the place where we become Christ-like. Even though it feels like you are dying 1,000 deaths, it's fine. Die every day. To yourself. And live for Christ. So, as we stand tonight, you are welcome to stand. And I want to invite some people to respond tonight. Because for some of us here, you know, some of us need the miracle of Lazarus tonight, the first one. Jesus calling you out of that cave. You are so lost. You are in such a bad place. You are just waiting for the voice of the universe to call out your name and say, come out. And tonight I want to pray with you. Regardless of your situation, if you are feeling like that and you want God to come and call out your name, I want you to come to the front. And then with that, those of you, and that can also be those people that are not saved. You know, you haven't given your life to Christ. We are willing to die to yourself every day. It's all been this, you know, hypothetical thing in your head. And I want to call you tonight and say, come and make right with God. Because He is calling you. Like He called Lazarus, He said, come forth. Come out from the place where you are. And come and stand here in the light. Enough of the darkness. I feel there are people here that are really trapped in so much darkness. You do not think that God can bring you out of that. He can. And He will. Don't be afraid. The devil is a liar, like Uncle Angus says. He's lying to you. He's saying that your situation is so massive and the darkness is so great. You know what? If this whole hall was totally pitch dark, one match will give light. You just need that one place where God says, come here. Come stand here in the light. So that's the first group of people. You can stand here to my left when it's done. The second group of people that I want to call forth, and you can stand here on my right, is those people that are like I was for long. You build walls around your heart because you are offended and hurt by people, hurt in the church. And some of us here have made inner vows. You said, I will never show my heart to anyone again because I don't want to get hurt that way. And I want to especially pray for you tonight. Because the paradox of God is the people that hurt you are the people that's going to heal you. Proverbs says, better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. So some of you have been wounded by friends who spoke the truth in love. Now you're offended. Now you want to run away. Don't do that. Don't be stupid like I was. Come and say, God, here I am. And it's fine to be hurt, you know. It's fine to be hurt. Say to God, God, I'm hurt. I'm so mad at that person. But you need to forgive. You need to let go of your bitterness and your offense. Why? Because God wants you to become Christ-like. So for those of you that are in that place, when we start worshiping, then you guys can just come to the front and see us, and all these people are gonna pray with you tonight. But I'm trusting God that we can get to that place where we can become Christ-like in the community of believers. So the Lord bless you. Thank you so much. Let's worship a song, and then the people can come to the front, those who need prayer this evening.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.